Welcome to the Erasing Shame Podcast. This is DJ Chuang, and I'm joined with Lillian Victoria Ng for a real-life conversation with a young mom who's celebrating the 100th day birthday of her dear son. Lillian, thank you for joining me.
Thank you so much for having me on this very special day.
Yes, and we're here to just have a real-life conversation about encouraging Christian Asian mental health, and you've been through a lot of things in life. You're holding your baby as we speak. So for those of you that are watching the video version, you'll see what happens as we talk. And right now, he is well soothed at the shoulder of dear mom. And he's not your only child. Tell us about your family.
So I am actually, I have a blended family. Yeah. And it worked out beautifully. I have an older son. He is turning 9. And my partner right now also has his son, who's already 9 years old as well. So I'm sharing this because, you know, everything will always work out beautifully if you allow it. And I am so grateful for the life I have right now. Everything I wanted in my life since I was a little girl is a family, because I grew up being raised by a single mom with 2 kids and struggling and emotionally and physically just absent, unavailable. Growing up in a, I would say, foreign country, because I was born in America, but I was raised in Taiwan. And that really, you know, created this paradigm around me about my beliefs in myself. And, you know, that desire to have my own family when I grow up since a little girl. So when I went through my first divorce, it was very devastating, right? But, you know, I'm bringing this up because I want to break that Asian stigma. I walked into my first marriage because I thought I was too old. I was 29. So I settled for less because I went against my intuition. When I went through my divorce, I was 34, 35. And at my mind, my belief, my fear-based belief at the time was like, oh my gosh, I'm so old, single mom, what am I going to do? Right? Fast forward, I turn 40 next month. 40 is the new 30s or the new 20s, right? I'm living a life that I didn't know how it was going to happen. But when you're allowing it and you're seeing it and you're letting go and just really allowing God and faith and all that come in, everything just works out. Not my way, but you know, that saying, tell God your plan and he will laugh at you because he has a bigger plan, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Wow. Well, you shared a lot in just a minute. Thank you for the quick background. And how did you work through the shame and the stigma of all that? You described a bit of how you shifted your mindset, but did that happen in community or is that something that...
Everything.
Say more.
When I first embarked on my personal growth journey, I went to therapy a lot. I mean, when I mean a lot, I mean, I think 2-3 years, you know, nonstop. And for a while, I was going once or twice a week. And what I was working on was my inner child, right? But also, I didn't have a really good self-affirmation. I used to always say, oh, I am messed up. So I was telling myself that, so I believed that. And at one point, I've learned that if I want to change, it's not working on the old. It's replacing the old with a new belief and mindset. So how I did that was I found mentorship. So I worked with the late Bob Proctor. Okay. I found him when I lost everything, you know, and that at that moment, it was when I say lost everything, business, career, house, marriage, my own identity. So I went through that moment where it's, am I going to live or die? Because I was in depression. I was in the outpatient program, right? And when I decided that living is the way I'm going to go, I have a son who is my light. Now I have a second son, biological son, which is my light. I needed to change. So I got tired of working in the little child in me, right? But I focused on the grown-up of what do I want? And one of the ways of doing that is studying. Like I started to study the principles of success. I started to study the universal laws. So these laws are also outlined in the Bible. If you read the Bible, it'll be referenced, you know, that this is how the law works. And basically what happened was, as I'm studying the truth of what faith can do for you, everything changed. My perception changed, my attitude changed, how I use my imagination to visualize, imagine, and vivify the life that I want started to change, because it was a very natural reaction, an automatic reaction of mine in the past to always think in the negative and fear, because that's how I was raised. Especially growing up in Asia, very fear-based, right? To give you a perspective, in Taiwan, yeah. If you watched your news in Taiwan, they make something so little look like it's the end of the world, right? So that took me about 3 years of really studying with mentorship. And when I'm studying the principles, but really I'm studying myself. And I started to make changes, one or two paradigms. Paradigms means your belief, your habitual way of thinking, how you see things at a time. So I'm no longer trying. You know, the goal is to change the automatic. That's a subconscious thinking. Mm-hmm. Right. So that was my journey. It was really a lot of studying on myself. And it's okay to ask for help, because my last marriage, yes, mental health was frowned upon. It wasn't. They didn't really believe it, especially my in-laws. But one thing that I've learned is, when you ask for help and when you study yourself, that's when you know how to make changes and what to do.
Yeah, there's a lot behind the words you're saying, because you've had some intensive training and mentoring in what could be described as mindset coaching, and that's a part of your profession now. And you've found success in doing that. Previously, you were in the entertainment industry, and we're kind of having a behind the scene conversation. So it was very, very candid. So I really appreciate you taking time to kind of pull the curtains back.
Yeah.
What little experience I'm having with entertainment, it takes a lot of work behind the scene to produce a performance that's really engaging and entertaining, and it can be kind of messy back there, but it takes a lot of work, and there's burnout, and there's a effect on mental health from the work and from your personal life. So you've gone through quite a bit. Talk a bit more about how, so beyond moving, beyond working on your inner child, which therapy helps with regards to mental health, how does this mindset, change in mindset, and your faith in studying yourself, but also studying God, make a difference in your mental health?
Yeah. Oh my gosh. Huge. Life became easy. You know, I always say this in LA, right? Everywhere you see, you know, there is like gratitude, this, be grateful for that. There's cafe gratitude. And I used to see it all the time, but I didn't really embrace it and live it. And the moment that I started to understand what the power of gratitude does for us as a human being, and also understanding that we're always working with God, we're co-creating with God, whether you like it or not. And everything starts with the thinking. By the way, thinking. And the biggest change for me is, I remember before, when I used to go to church in my 20s, without proper mentorship, my conversation with God would be, tell me what you want me to do. I don't know what to do. Right. But the truth is, you know, we're always co-creating. And when you listen to your intuition, you know, and when you pray, that's a conversation with God. And that's when things start to change, because every time I have these intuitions, these things that come into my head, before I would talk myself out of it because I wasn't confident in myself. You know, I would say stuff like, oh, well, who am I to know? Right. But actually that was God speaking to me. And that's how I started to instill my faith and my confidence and my self-image. We all have two images, one inside, one projecting outward. Everything is inside out, right? That's when things start to change. You know, what does miracle mean? right? Miracle means something happened when you don't have a logical explanation. That's God in the work. Miracles happen all the time. And then that's when I started to get enthused. Like I started to become very enthusiastic with the work that I want to do and I'm doing now, you know, living a life with my own purpose. People don't have to agree with it, right? And then, you know, I was taught enthused means, in Greek means, what was it? God, it means, being possessed by God. So we're in faith, we're in it, we're in the flow, we're energetically ingrained in everything that we're doing. And that's when life changed. It was a purpose. Before, when it was the other way around, it was a lot of worried out. It was not purposeful. It was, you know, let me find a way to get a job, right? Mm-hmm. Now, I think working, doing what you like is very important. But the difference now is when I'm doing something that I'm purposeful, you know, that's when the persistence happens. And then you mentioned, you know, entertainment earlier. Everything in our lives are happening for a reason. We are all here exactly where we need to be. When I lost everything, I was like, oh my gosh, what am I going to do in my life? All I knew was entertainment. And at that time, I hated it at the time because I was burnt out. But after studying myself, I realized it wasn't that. It was because I didn't have a purpose. What kind of content are we creating, right? And then fast forward now, you know, I'm with the Napoleon Hill Institute. We are one of the fastest growing personal development companies. And we started this year. And I'm grateful from the entertainment background because you said, you know, behind the scenes, it's stressful. There's burnout, managing chaos. I was so used to that. So for me to manage all this, you know, I'm like, this is easy. There's no complaints, no nothing, because all I see is the solution. So I believe God had to put me through all of that to be where I'm at. Same thing with my family, my marriage. God had to put me through my last marriage so I could lose everything and I could learn. He took it all away so I could learn to be a different person entering my new relationship, my current relationship, right? So everything always happens in divine timing. And when I know that, God always have a bigger plan. And when I mean I know that, it's truly believing that. A lot of people, they say they know, but they don't believe. We call that the knowing and the doing gap. Consciously, you know, subconsciously, you don't believe. What's subconscious? It's what's in the automatic, right? We're not trying. We're not reminding ourselves. Like, you just flow. You live it, right? When you're living in that and you're in alignment, things become easy. It becomes effortless because now we're in the allowing it to happen. But everything does come into the thinking because if we're saying this intellectually, in our conscious mind, but subconscious mind, we're not believing it. There's still a lot of worry and doubt, like, oh, well, what if it doesn't happen? Well, how can that happen? Right? That's gonna happen. So there's
Here's what's hard. Here's one thing that's hard with mental health. So just last month, I went through a couple weeks of depression, and my thinking was very impaired. And so when I'm in a healthy place, I can think clearly and do what you're describing, be intentional, understand my purpose, and make plans and steps and make good progress and be productive. But when I was impaired, I could not think clearly.
Yes.
I was desperate. I was overwhelmed. I was tired. And I was no longer able to hold on to the truth. I hung on by faith because God has got me through it in the past. And I was patient with myself and I did the healthy things I do for self-care. Yes. But going through that was so hard.
Yeah.
How has your mentoring and faith come to a different perspective on that? In light of our time, before we started recording, we were talking about how this was such a timely conversation because Coco Lee just died by suicide, and suicide, it has touched your life. It's touched people around me as well. When their people's thinking get really impaired and just thinking clearly doesn't work anymore.
So when I was depressed, I was put on Lexapro. I was put on oh my gosh, I forgot the name all of a sudden. Xanax. And there was one more, I'm not remembering the name, but my whole point is, and I remember going through them because those were Band-Aids, because I couldn't function. That's how bad it got. Right. And I understand when you don't even have any direction, it feels very, very dark. It feels very dark. Right. And I know for me, what got me back on my feet, and it took time. This is not overnight. This is not overnight. We're all humans. We have emotions. But what helped me was desire. It was the desire to be able to raise my son. It was the desire to not relive my childhood. I had a very strong desire, right? And everyone is different. That's why, you know, when people are in that stage, find out who you are and what you want. And that could take time. The self-care is very important. You know, it's for me, I remember the biggest change. There is a time I don't look at myself in the mirror. I just feel like I'm ugly all the time. So I don't look at that person in the mirror. And not only that, if you put a mic over my head, the way I talk to myself is extremely critical and mean. Right. So it was changing all that. It was first step finding, you know, what is my purpose in life? We all have one. But the thing is, there's so many noises outside. We gotta mute them. That's why it's good to just be isolated in somewhere in nature. I always find the best answers in nature, even if it's just on a hike, right? Nature has the highest form of vibration. But by doing that and listening to your inner voice, you know, you have a sense of what you want. And again, I understand how sometimes it needs to take time, and your community as well, the people that you're hanging out with. Because I remember the shift for me, when I was in an outpatient program, they have these support groups. And what will happen is we'll show up, and the first 2 hours, everyone will share about their problems, what's going on. And what I found was, like, we're always talking about the problem. And I was around people in that depressed state, right? I mean, there are people that try to take their lives. I was unsuccessful. That was there. We have all kinds of people. And when I had the desire, I started to look for a new alternative, because at that moment I was like, I've been seeing therapy for 3 years. Prozac was the other pill that I was seeing. They put me on Prozac and they put me on all these pills and I'm doing all this. I'm like, but nothing is changing. Why? So I started to look for alternatives. So there's this thing called the infinite intelligence. There is infinite. There is unlimited resources out there. And that's why there's God. When the ideas come, it comes in a flash wave. It comes like that. So what I did is I did research. And then I looked into coaching. Because before that, I never looked into coaching. Right? Because I wanted to move forward. And then what happened with that was that led me into a community of people that has different conversations. They're building their life now. You see what I'm saying? Then my community went from complaining about life, talking about the problems, to always talking about what they want. So that was that first step too. Because we're all, you know, who you surround yourself with is really, really important. And usually when people go into depression, a lot has to do with environment, the background, the support system, all that stuff, right? I don't know if you watch the Kardashians. Now people could agree or disagree.
No, I don't.
Huh?
No, I don't.
But one thing that is very powerful about them is their mindset, because they get backlash by the media so hard, right? People are very critical on them, and they have a very good support system, and that really helps keep their minds strong. Their support system is their family. I didn't have that. In fact, one of the reasons why I went into very deep depression and I was completely stuck because I have no family. I literally had no family in America. we didn't have that relationship. And now I was on my own with my kid, right? Basically almost homeless because I was staying at this friend's house for 2 months, that friend's house for 2 months. I was like on someone's couch, someone's guest room, right? So, so the community and the mentorship help, yeah.
Now, I know you're a mindset coach, so I hear you talking a lot about mindset, and I want to share a different perspective that the having the desire and the mindset didn't get me through the depression.
Tell me more.
Because I was at a point where I couldn't function. And I think that's what, because I think through the places and times when I have also experienced suicidal ideation. And I didn't have it in me anymore. And so that's what led me to faith. And so faith was believing that there was someone, God, in Jesus Christ, was able to help me when I couldn't help myself. So I could no longer look within. And that's what I held on by faith and got me through those dark and hard times.
Amen.
Help me translate that into what you're describing, because you're talking about faith and mindset in such a
scientific,
interesting way. It doesn't sound like the typical preacher talking about faith.
Yeah. So what I start to learn, and this is how my faith changed, because I've been, you know, Christian in my 20s, and I would say now I'm so much closer to God. And it's just like you, give it all to God, because there's always a better plan. You could call that universe, you could call that God, I call that God, right? And I know God loves me and I'm protected and I'm always exactly where I need to be. And that's the moment life starts to become very easy. Mm. But the difference is I realize I'm always co-creating with God too. You know, they say there is a God and there is a devil, right? There is a really good book I highly recommend called Outwitting the Devil by Napoleon Hill. When he does so well is, you know, these negative thoughts, he's able to outline it. So after I read it, every time if I have these negative thoughts, I identify that with the devil and I just outwit it, focus on where I need to go. That mental strength of that belief took time, right? But my relationship with God am so strong, and you know, exactly like what you said, when you give it to God, everything's just easy, right? Also, know you're exactly where you need to be, because everything we went through, there is a whole reason why. We're learning, we're growing. You know, I know God put me through all the stuff I need to do that I went through in the past so I could be here to help people in a different way. Right, that's sexual abuse, that's mindset, right? That's depression, all that, but help them in a different way using everything that I had went through. Does that make sense?
Yeah, the verse that comes to mind is Genesis 50:20, that what they meant for evil or whatever happens in our lives that is very painful and harmful, and sometimes by people, sometimes by circumstances, God meant for good.
Yeah. And then in the Bible, I also mentioned, you know, as a man thinketh, he becomes. So even in the Bible, it says, you know, whatever you think, you become. Right. So watch the thinking, because God is spiritual. You know, we are a spiritual being, right? That's how we have. That's why there's these ideas that's invisible. We don't see these energy that you feel. That's spiritual. It's intangible. And we're in a physical body. So that's why the ideas that come into you, the thoughts, all of that, your intuition, all of that, when we're activating that spirituality and we're listening to it, I really see that and believe that as a communication with God. Prayers are so important. But one thing I've learned too is, how are you praying, right? That's the dialogues that you're having, you know, really coming from the heart. So this becomes where that science comes in. You know, I used to, like I said earlier, I used to ask for permission. What should I do? I have no direction, but now I demand it. Like, God, you promised me all this, you know, like I let it out, but because he's my dad, he's literally,
yes.
Literally. Cause I never had my own dad. And it's okay to have these conversations, because when yes. we have that feeling or that calling, if you may, right?
Yes.
When you know what your calling is, it's put there for a reason. That's why you, me, and everyone else that's watching, listening, we're all going to have different callings for a reason.
Having conversation with God. So as we wrap up, what are some of your favorite promises that you call God and demand from?
Oh my gosh, there's so many.
Just one or two. Everybody has their favorite.
Okay, so I don't know if this counts, but I say this all the time. God, I know I'm exactly where I need to be. I just want you to speak to me clear. So I'm walking a path because I know where my destination is, but I obey to you. Yeah. Because I know everywhere, every time I set a goal, when I go there, as long as I'm taking action, it's not going to work out. Most of the time, it doesn't work out the way I want it to, but it always works out the way that God has planned. So that's my letting go, right? And then another one I always demand is protection over my family and my babies. Yeah. He is good, and I surrender. I really surrender. I don't watch news that much, so I'm not really up to date with all some of the negativity that's going on, right? Mm-hmm. I used to get very scared of it, I'll be honest, but I just like, I demand it. I put it in his hand and I live my life. Yeah. So I want to make sure every second that I'm here, I'm living life purposeful. And it's perfect timing because he's waking up from his nap.
Yes. And yeah. You've paraphrased some meaningful things in God's word for yourself. I always fall back on Psalm 23. I've memorized that. I'm not going to recite it here. And the Lord's Prayer. I think just leaning into how God's word is written has its own power. And so I lean into that and call out to God when I'm desperate and also when I'm well. Just to acknowledge that he is my shepherd and I don't lack anything. And he restores my soul.
Yes.
And he's good to me with mercy and goodness all the days of my life. Well, Lillian, it's been a joy to talk with you. Thank you for making time amidst your busy schedule. And I'm so grateful your son enjoyed listening in this conversation as well.
Thank you.
Thank you, Lillian. I'll add a link in the show notes. You'd love to connect with Lillian Victoria Ng on social media. You're most active, I think, on Instagram. Is that right?
Instagram and Facebook. Yes.
Instagram and Facebook. So we'll have a link in the show notes at erasingshame.com. Thank you for listening. God bless you. Have a great week. Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to the Erasing Shame podcast. Check out the show notes at erasingshame.com and subscribe to our email for updates. We would love to hear from you, so please add your comments at our website or on social. Subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or any podcast app, and you can also subscribe on YouTube or follow on Facebook. Please add a rating and review so we can reach more people with our message of health, hope, and compassion. This podcast is the digital outreach of